Good morning. I recently came across a situation that I'm sure most of us have found ourselves in. It's one that I know the Lord has brought up to me recently. It's been on my mind even before I came across this situation. It's something I think we probably run into more than we realize. I was involved with a conversation that was happening. I wasn't really that much into it, but there was two people who were talking, and then it turned into an argument. You know, they were going back and forth. You know, at that point, I just kind of definitely exited the conversation, but I was listening, and they were going back and forth, one of them dropped something that was kind of rude, you know, threw out a comment, and the other person said, you know, that was just rude. And then the other person said, quote, "I'm sorry, I can't help it. It's just the way I am." And I'm sure that we have had these kinds of conversations. I'm sure maybe you've said that, whether you've said it audibly or whether you've just felt that. You know, that's just the way I am. That's just who I am. I can't help it. There's nothing I could do. Now, I've been thinking about this for a while, and so it all of a sudden came up. And when they said that, I almost said audibly, I almost said it out loud, I was thinking it, I almost said, "No, that's just the way you have chosen to be." I almost said it, but I didn't, because I wanted to stay out of it. But really, that's what I was thinking. "No, that is just the way you have chosen to be." Oftentimes we have talked about this subject before. Benji's talked about exceeding your programming, which is pretty cool. It's allowing the Lord to take you beyond what you yourself think that you're capable of. You know, it's taking you beyond what the world has told you about yourself. It's going beyond what the world has told you, your family, your coworkers, the people at school, and even yourself, what you have told yourself that you are. It's allowing Him to shape us, change us, guide us, you know, allow us to go beyond what we think we are, what we think we could be. It's saying no to "it's just the way I am." And that's what we're going to be talking about today, is it's just the way I am. It's something that I have a feeling all of us come to. In fact, maybe the person I'm talking about is here today. No, I'm just kidding. No. Just kidding. Maybe. No. It's something that we always come to, like I said, whether we say it to each other or whether we just think it. You know, it's just the way I am. Now with that, we are all different from one another. You know, we're going to be comprised of different circumstances, different upbringings, different likes and dislikes, different opinions. We're all different ages. We even come from really different times. We're wired differently. We look at the world differently. You know, there's things that we do have limitations on of what we can and can't do. We are all different. And in fact, we could all have different giftings that the Lord wants to put in our lives. But with that said, unfortunately, the "it's just the way I am" attitude is actually more of a barrier and an excuse. It's more of a thing that we say, you know, "it's just the way I am, I can't help it, I can't go there." And most of the time, it's not really a "just, it's just the way I am," it's a "it's just the way I have decided and chosen to be." And that barrier that we put up because of our attitude of "it's just the way I am" is we're blocking the walk with Jesus that He wants us to have. We're blocking the growth that He's trying to do in our lives. He's, you know, trying to speak to us. He's trying to get us to come closer to Him. He's trying to transform our lives. But yet, we've put up a barrier. We've said, "Lord, shape me, mold me, turn me into who You want me to be." But I looked at the catalog, and I choose number 30 and number 12. That's pretty much how we act. We say, okay, Lord, shape me, guide me, mold me, you know, send me on your plan, but here are the ones that I have chosen that you could choose for me. You know, and you know, sometimes it's easy to say, oh, you kind of laugh at that and be like, oh, well, you know, that's kind of funny that maybe we do that. But we do do that. We do. We say, okay, Lord, here are the things that I could do. Here are the things that I can't do. So you better choose the things that I can do, because these other things, it's just the way I am. I can't help it. There's no changing this. There's no changing me in this area. Maybe other areas, but not this. Maybe this sounds familiar to you. Maybe you've been there. Maybe you've been to where you feel like God is calling you to something, but yet you just say, you know, that's just not me. But some of these areas, the Lord is trying to heal us. He's trying to transform our lives, but we say, don't go there. We say, don't go there, Lord. That's just not me. He's trying to bring us closer. He's trying to shape us. Romans 12:2 says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Here we see we are to not be conformed by the world, and that's us as well. We are not to be conformed by our own ideas of who we are. We're not to be conformed by the ideas of the world around us, by our family. We are to be conformed by the Word of God and the transformation of Jesus Christ through a real, true relationship with Him that can bring true change in areas that you probably think, I think, that we could never change in. This is the transformation that He wants to do in our lives. And it's one thing to be honest and realistic about our strengths and weaknesses. That's important. We need to be realistic. But at the same time, it's a whole other thing to flat out give up on the possibility of God transforming and shaping our lives in these certain areas. By saying, these areas are off limits, I just can't do that. We're telling the world, you know what? That's just the way I am. We even give a half apology. I'm sorry. It's just the way I am. And then in turn, we turn to the Lord and say, I'm sorry. It's just the way I am. But really, what we should be saying to the Lord is, I'm sorry. It's just the way you made me. I'm sorry, Lord. I see you calling me. I see you wanting to change my life. But really, you made me wrong, is what we're saying. And we can't have that attitude. We have to realize that He is going to transform us, and we take these bits and pieces, these glimpses of who we think we are, who we think we're going to become. We take all these ideas from the world around us, and we put it in a blender, and we say, that's who I am. We take my weaknesses, my strengths, we put it all together, the things that I think I can and can't do, and we say, shape, define and mold me, but here are some restrictions, Lord. It's time we remove those restrictions. It's just the way I am. It's just the way I am. But what if we're missing something? What if you have that attitude? What if you've had that attitude your whole life on something? It's just the way I am. It's just who I am. But what if we're missing something? What if we're missing something powerful that the Lord wants to do in and through our lives? What if in that we're transferring our own doubt in ourselves to the Lord? We're transferring our own weakness to the Lord. We're saying, I can't do it, so you must not be able to do it through me. Paul spoke of a weakness he had. He referred to it as a thorn in the flesh. 2 Corinthians 12:7-10. And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that he might depart from me, that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. This is exactly opposite with how I think many times. He says he rejoices in these things, persecutions. He rejoices in the fact that he is weak. Because he says, because he is weak, he can then be strong. Because he is weak, God will use him, transform his life, and he will therefore be strong. Now, it's only through my weakness that I'm able to be up here this morning. My willingness, but my weakness, his power and his grace. See, I can understand that's just not who I am. Because I would say, Lord, you know, when he's calling me, when he called me, when he continues to call me, when he says, here's a message, go stand in front of these people and share my truth, share my word. I say, Lord, you know, you need somebody more outgoing. Lord, you need someone who likes to visit with others. You need someone who likes people. I love you. But you know what I mean? Someone who says, I will do it. You know, pick me. I will lead your people. That's the kind of person that you need. Just as Moses said to God, and many others in Scripture have said, I can't do this. This is not me. I'm talking about speaking up here, but whatever it is that God is calling you to do in your life, let me tell you, it's not going to be comfortable. It's not going to be something that you're going to say, oh yeah, you know, I was born for this. I love doing this. He's going to use your weakness. He's going to use an area where you are not strong, and he is going to make you strong. That's what he's calling us to. But we say our response to this calling, is you have the wrong person. There was something wrong with the message there. I think it got to the wrong person. It needs to be someone else. Exodus 3, 7 through 10 talks about Moses' reaction. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up from the land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to a place in the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites, the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now, therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression which the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, and you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Here we see the Lord speaking to Moses, but yet it is no different now what the Lord's heart cry is towards his people. He says, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt. It doesn't just mean Egypt for us now. It means he sees our oppression. He says, go and deliver my people out of the hands of the Egyptians. See, now we're not just talking about the Egyptians. We're talking today about something on an even greater scale. He wants us to take his word, take his plan to help free the captives. And the captives are anyone who is born into this world. Each of us are on a path that leads us to eternity separated from God's love and power. Everyone born into this world is on a path into eternal darkness. He desires for us to set his people free from the bondage of sin, from the clutches of Satan, for us to be free from death and to live with him eternally. This is his desire for us. This is his desire for us to spread to his people. He is looking for willing people to say, yes, I will help you lead people out of oppression. I will help you lead people from the taskmasters, from the infirmities and the sin that plagues us. He says, you, and you, all of you. He says, I am calling you to bring them out of the clutches of Satan. And how are we responding? How are we responding? I think for the most part, we are saying, that is not who I am. Find someone else. That is not me. That is not who I am. You must mean him, not me. It has to be somebody else. You know me. Say, Lord, that is not me. I can't do this. I can't be that. That's just the way I am. No, that's just the way I am not. I cannot go there. I cannot do it. I've got too much going on. You have to pick someone else. And unfortunately, many times that's our answer to his call. And you know what? For myself, many times, I feel guilty about it. So I try and find other things to do. I say, well, I'm good at this. I can help somebody here. You know, this is more of my gifting. This is more of what I could do. Here's what I could do. I could help somebody in this area. You know what I'm talking about? We say, okay, Lord, we got something a little off there. Okay, you were calling me to do this, but really, you know, I would be more suited to do this, so I'll go ahead and do that. But it doesn't work that way. When he calls us, we either say yes or no. And then we don't say, Lord, okay, I'm going to do something else. Exodus 3:11, but Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? So he said, I will certainly be with you, and this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. Then Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? The question of who am I to do this? It is a valid question. I say that now. Who am I to be up here now? Who are you to spread his word? Who are we that we could do this? I am not worthy. I am not worthy. I am a sinner. I have let him down. I have let my family down. I have let you down. I am weak. I am flawed. I cannot do this. Yet, in that, the creator of heaven and earth, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the true one, true only God, true Savior and Redeemer says, I want you. He says, in that, in your weakness, in your sin, in my weakness and flawed personality, being unworthy, he says, I still choose you. And it is not you who will be great, but it is him who will be great. And he says, if you say yes, then I will be there. And maybe, just maybe, it's time for us to start listening to him. You know, so many times I say, you know, I am unworthy. I am unworthy. I am unworthy. And I have a pity party for myself, and I tell God and everybody around me why it's a bad idea for me to do this or do that, what he's calling me to. But maybe it's time for us to listen to him. Maybe it's time to realize that the Creator is knocking at our door saying, I am calling you to something that is completely beyond what you could ever imagine. And that's the point of being transformed. It's taking us to a level that we can't understand right now. It's allowing him to take us to a level that goes beyond what we're used to, into an uncomfortable area. And then we say, yes, Okay, yes, I will do it. Yes, I will lead your people. Wait, I have nothing to say. What am I going to say when I get there? That's what Moses said. He said, okay, you know, all right, Lord, but wait a minute. When I get there, I mean, what am I going to say to them? You know, what am I going to say about you? Exodus 3:14. And God said to Moses, I am who I am. He said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. Moreover, God said to Moses, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent you to me. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial to all generations. Go and gather the elders of Israel together and say to them, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, appeared to me, saying, I have surely visited you and seen what is done to you in Egypt. And I have said, I will bring up you up out of the affliction of Egypt to a land of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, to a land flowing with milk and honey. He says, the truth, the message that I have spoken to you, repeat that to my people. He says, when you go to them, tell them the truth. He says, when you go to them, tell them exactly what I have told you. And that is the same message to me today. And he says, and I will certainly be there. I will be there, he says. Tell them the truth. Tell them what I said. And I will show up. And that's his message to us today. We say, Lord, I don't have the words for this. I don't have the ability for what you're calling me to do. I'll have nothing to say. And he says, yes, you do have something to say. What I've already told you. The truth that's right in front of us. The word of God. He says, repeat it. Tell the truth. And I'll be there. Galatians 2:20, I don't think is on that list. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It is no longer I who live, but Christ. If I truly surrender my life, if I truly say, Lord, you know, take me, it's not going to be me who's doing it, it's going to be him. If I am obedient to him, if I'm living by faith, he will empower me to do what he's calling me to do. And that's where I want you to think about, what are the areas in your life right now that you are avoiding meeting with God with? What areas are you knowing that God is trying to speak to your life, trying to move in your life, trying to transform your life in a powerful way, yet you are saying, Lord, don't go there. That's not who I am. Because there's going to be areas in all of our lives right now, right here, that we are operating in that way. You know, it's a worldly concept. It's just the way I am. You know, there are extreme weaknesses that I have. Extreme weaknesses, extreme quirks, extreme flaws. You know, there were probably two times that I could think, maybe three this last week, that everything around me started going dark and I was on the verge of a panic attack. There were three times this week that I could remember, you know, having to almost just, you know, run away and panic because there's so much going on around me. Because there's people around me, because things are happening that I can't control, that it's you know, outrageous, and I have these moments. You know, it's hard for me to get up in front of people. It's hard for me to talk to people one-on-one. It's hard for me to put myself out there, but yet for some reason, for some crazy, wild reason, The Lord has called me to do this, to speak to you in front of the congregation. I still think it's just, he must have got it wrong. No, I'm just kidding. I fight with that, though. I fight with that. I say, are you sure, Lord? Are you sure? Are you sure? But when he calls us to something, he calls us to it. And if we say, yes, Lord, then he will meet us there. And I'm not saying you're going to be called to do the same thing that I do. And maybe you're even saying, I want to do that, but I bet he won't call you to it then. Whatever it is that he is calling you to do in your life, initially you're going to think, you know what, I don't want that. I can't do that. But yet he's trying to empower you as he did Moses to set his people free. He wants somebody that's not going to jump in and take over. He wants somebody that he can lead. So what is it in your life that you're putting up those barriers, saying, it's just the way I am? Where in your life is he knocking on the door of your heart, saying, I want to heal you. I want to guide you. I want to shape you. I want to mold you into who I want you to be. But we're resisting that. We're saying no. We're pushing back. He wants to transform us. And I just have this sense, and I can't explain it. I can't tell you why or how I came to it. Well, I know why. That there are those here today that God is truly on the verge of transforming in a powerful way right now. But we're being resistant to his change, resistant to what he has for our lives, because we are pushing back at him saying, that is not me, it is not my time, it is not for me. But he is saying to us, let go. Let me transform your life. Let me push you in a new direction. Let me, he says, show you who you are. It's time we stop showing God who we are and allow him to show us who he wants us to be. Or have we already decided what he can and cannot do in our lives? 1 Corinthians 1:26 through 31. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things that which were despised, God has chosen, and the things which are not to bring to nothing, the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption, that as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. He is not going to call the strong. He's going to call the weak. And we are the weak. Amen. We are the weak. And if you think you're strong, you will fall. If you think you're strong today, you will get knocked down. He is calling us to let down that barrier that we've constructed in our lives. That line, you could say, that you've drawn in the sand, saying, Lord, you can use me up to this point. You know, and what I've realized, I even realized it more so last night than ever before, it's not that we want to say, Lord, I don't want you to take me past that line. It's not that we say, Lord, I don't want to go there. It's that I feel in myself that I can't go there. It's that there's a line drawn and then I can't move past it because it's just who I am. Or it's not who I am. And And oftentimes, you know, we really do deep down have that passion and say, Lord, take me to that next spot. Bring me closer. Purify me. Cleanse me. Take me to that path that you have for me, that relationship that is just incredible, but there's just this line. And I'm just not that person. I can't get past that. But let him destroy that line. Let him destroy you. Let him take your life and say, Lord, whatever it's going to look like, shape and mold me. That is who I will be. So if that's you today, if there's that line in your life, and you know what, maybe you're standing on the other side of the line and we're talking about a first-time commitment with him. It's the same thing. We're resistant because we don't want to give our lives over to him because we feel like we can't give our lives over to him. Not because we don't want to sometimes, but because we don't know how. But there's a point where we just need to let go, trust in him. Lord, go beyond what I can see. Transform me beyond my own vision and my own understanding. Because my vision and my understanding is flawed. Lead me. What can I do for your glory, Lord? This should be our prayer. This should be our heart's cry. What can I do to help set your people free from sin and death? Not what can I do for my own glory, not what can I do to make myself look good, but what can I do to get out of the way of what you want to do? Psalm 34, 17 through 22, the righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of their troubles. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart, and save such as a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He guards all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous shall be condemned. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of those who trust in him shall be condemned. Really, it comes to the place that we need to allow him to teach us to trust him. It comes down to trust. Do we trust him or not? The creator of this world tells us he wants to move in our life. I think we should believe him. If he wants to heal our lives, heal our infirmities, move us forward in a powerful way, I think we should believe him. I think we should say, yes, Lord. And yes, Lord, I do not see how this is possible. Be honest with him. Yes, Lord, I have no idea how this could ever happen, but Lord, transform my life. Take me down the path that you have for me. Because here's the thing. He hears your heart's cry. Just as he said to Moses, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry. He hears you today. Whatever it is that you're going through, whatever it is that you're struggling with, whatever it is, he knows. And he's waiting for you to say, here it is, Lord. Heal and transform my life. Yes, Lord. And yes, I will take your message, I will take your truth to your people. As I said, I just have a sense, I have this feeling that we're just standing on the edge of this line that we've drawn in the sand. So ready to cross it, so ready to say, Lord, take me in a new direction. You know, take me past the barriers that I've set in my life. Destroy them. Allow me to pass into what you have for me. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's the only way we could do it, is through his strength. His will. something that I never thought possible in my life. In fact, when I went through my depression, my dark, deepest depression, I never thought I'd be up here again. I never thought I'd be doing this another time. But for whatever reason, he's calling me. And it hasn't been easy, but I say yes. And I'm not going to say, you know, I said yes the first time. You know, I even fight it. I'll fight it Saturday night. But what is it that he's calling you to? Because it's exciting. It's exciting to think of what God is trying to do in and through your lives. But we spend so much time looking at everything else around us besides his call. If you are pushing him away today, draw near to him. Today, right now. I'm not just talking about later on tonight. I'm talking about right now. If you have been avoiding him, if you have said the very words that I've said to you, where you say no because, Lord, that's just not me, allow him to push you through that. If you are realizing that you have said yes to him with your mouth, but no with your actions and your priorities, come before him. If you are the one calling out to him saying, Lord, I am oppressed, I am at my end, free me from my chains that enslave me. If this is you, if you want to go beyond saying it's just who I am and have him exceed your programming, meet with him today. He loves you. And I know there are those in here today who struggle with that. And I don't know who. But it's important that you know that he loves you beyond measure. To the point where I said, we are unworthy. We are sinful. We have gone against him. Us together, collectively, as humanity, we spit in his face. We said, no, I don't want you. We said, no, I don't want your salvation. I don't want your message, your truth. I don't want you. And we hung him on a cross. We're guilty of that. You may not have been there, but that is what we did. And we are surely sinners. But yet he says, I love you anyway. I want you anyway. No matter where you are with him, whether you've never had a relationship with him, whether you've just talked about him, whether maybe you've talked to him a little bit, or maybe you have an amazing relationship with him, but yet you know you could take it further. You know he could take you to a new direction, to a new place where you're passionate again, to where you lead his people out of oppression, rather you just worrying about your own oppression. Whatever it is that God is calling you to do, meet with him today. Allow him to transform your life. No more excuses. No more saying, you know, that's just not who I am. That's just not what I can do. But say, okay, Lord, show me what you're going to do in my life. Heather, if you want to come back up, let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much for what you have done in my life. I thank you that you have chosen me in spite of who I am. I thank you for forgiving me time and time again, lifting me up time and time again, bringing me out of my depression, bringing me out of my oppression, Lord. I thank you for what you have done in my life, and I look forward to what you will continue to do in my life and the lives of everyone here. Lord, right now I know because you have showed me there are those just on the edge, on an edge of truly surrendering to you. Right now I pray for those people. Lord, speak to their hearts. Speak to whatever it is they need to hear to know that you love them, that you want them, that you hear their cry. And Lord, for those who are maybe stagnant, who love you but have been wandering around in the desert, Lord, I ask that you give us that spark. Give us that fire that only you can give. Awake us to your love and your mission, Lord God, for what you have for our lives. And for all of us, Lord, standing on the edge of what God is calling us to do, saying, Lord, I cannot do that because it's not who I am. Lord, help us to realize that it is not us who can do it, but you. Help us to have that final push, to jump over that line, knowing that you're going to be there to catch us. You're going to be there to see us through. Lord, I ask that you work in our lives, work in this church. Allow us to set your people free. Lord, as we enter into worship, I ask that you speak to the hearts of those who are here. Give us the boldness to move forward in you. In Jesus' name, amen.